Close on mouths this morning as I considered what to preach in these two messages. The Lord laid upon my heart what I had this morning, and then just thinking of the just a message on your pastor. And you know, the local church is made up of God's blood purchased saints, of which it's a blessing to be able to say we're one of those, a blood purchased saint. We gather together to worship and to fellowship with the saints and to edify, to be edified, exercise the spiritual gifts that God's given to us so that the body of Christ is functioning as it ought. And how we pray that our people, as we come together, that the Lord will help each one to take and to exercise the gifts that are here together, that God has given to us, that we might function as we ought. God has not designed the individual believers' lives to be lived apart from other obedient Christians. We are to fellowship together with those of like precious faith, and there are those that we're not able to fellowship with because of disobedience, but how the Lord has designed for us to have that. But this evening, as we look at the particular gift that is given to the church body, and we find that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, Ephesians 4 and verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come together in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Well, we'll stop there in that those verses. But the one gift that is mentioned there, just to think of the gift of the pastor teacher is a gift that is a gift like all of the other gifts that God has given, a specific one. It's a gift that we recognize that gift of pastor teacher is that is from God. It's something that God has given in the body as the other gifts that He has given. And if we were to go there to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as it talks about the body, that one part can't say, because I'm not this, I'm not part of the body, or another part, they're not part of the body. We all have that the Lord would have us to be working and laboring together. But God has called that there would be, and He's given the gift of the pastor. And pastors and teachers is under the construction there. It would appear that is one. It is the pastor teacher that we would see is that gift. And those things that the Lord calls one into. And I guess as a young man, I would never have said that the Lord has given me the gift of pastor teacher. That was not. I didn't think that was what the Lord would have for me. And yet, you know, when the time came and there was that great burden that the Lord laid upon my heart for the starting of the church, and it was there. You know, I recognized, well, Lord, you're going to have to give something that I don't have, and yet, And yet I saw over the many years how the Lord gave strength, and the Lord enabled me to function in that capacity. That was a gift from God. It was not just a gift to the congregation. It was a gift to me that I would be able to function in that capacity. And so we recognize when the Lord has given us a faithful pastor, even as we thank God for the pastor that the Lord has given us now and Pastor Howard, that's a gift from God. That's something that is something special that God has given to us. We recognize when we go to when you go over to 1 Timothy and chapter 3, when it gives here the qualifications there, and of course this, you know, some of this we recognize as we have those that serve in the position of elder that serves in the spiritual capacity along with the pastor. The pastor is also an elder, but these are in 1 Timothy chapter 3. He gives qualifications there, and he starts off and here it says the office, if a man desire the office of a bishop, that is the word for overseer, one that is to oversee. It says he desires a good work, and we see there that it says that he must be blameless. He was one that would not have a blame in his life, the husband of one wife, and so we have stipulations that about what the qualification there of one that would be able to serve in that capacity, and that he is vigilant. That's the idea of being sober-minded, and the word sober there is a those two words have some overlapping meanings to them, but there's the it's that to be sober in the sense of being self-controlled, of good behavior, given to hospitality. You know, the willingness to set aside to entertain, to care for the needs of others, and then the being apt to teach, just to be able to open God's word and to instruct from it, and then he says to be not given to wine, and there a recognition. There's a it seems like in some Christian circles today there's a big discussion about that, and there's not the abstinence that we believe is necessary, but in being no striker, he's not violent, and I think of that of, you know, one that's that in their mind they're hot-headed, but not greedy of filthy lucre, not desiring and having a desire to be rich, as the Lord speaks against, and to be patient, it's the idea of in the patient gentleness there, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth his own house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he be able to care for the church of God? Not a novice, but being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. There's quite a list there, even in the seventh verse. He must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. I remember as a young man thinking, well, those are qualifications that we all ought to live by. You know, that's not just what we ought to be, and certainly that is true. You know, those are, we look at those things and say, well, those are things that ought to be part of a godly character. But as we will go on, you know, we recognize that is something that God has for this office, in the sense that if He's going to lead, if He's going to be an example, those are things that need to be. So we see that the pastor, it's a gift from God. It's that where there's qualifications that have to be met, and then I'm thinking in Acts chapter 6 in Acts chapter 6 is when the widows were not being cared for, and there was the need to have those that would be care for some of these physical needs, and we come to Acts chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4, we see then that as they saw there was a problem, and so there was, here were the instructions to the brethren there in the church. He said, "Brethren, look out ye among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." There was a recognition there that the work needs to be divided up among the brethren. And, you know, that's part of what we talked about this morning as we looked at the body of Christ and how God has gifting all of us differently. Well, here in the beginning of the church, this is one of those things that was recognized that here's some physical needs that the pastor doesn't need to care for. He had been, but he would see that there's others here that can be doing this. We recognize that the pastor doesn't have all of the gifts, each one, and of course each one individually. There may be some things that he would be gifted in, and others things that he's not. I appreciated when there were those that recognized that the things that were not my strength that they picked up and were able to do. I think as we look at the ministry here with Pastor Howard, maybe there's some things that maybe he's not the best in, and those are things that if any is able, you see things, how can I be of help? What can I do? You know, what can I do that will lighten your load? Here what we recognize, what he's saying is the pastor needs time. He needs time to exercise the gifts that he's to be exercising within the church. And it says that we may give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So there's a recognition that you think about it, with everything else that he has to do, is he able to spend the time that he needs in preparation? I'm not sure if I said it publicly or privately, but I remember saying about Pastor Howard that I feel like he's takes time to prepare a banquet for us, a spiritual banquet. Looking through the Word, well, that doesn't just come all of a sudden on Saturday night. You know, oh, let's see, what am I gonna say? You know, when I get up, you know, but it comes through It comes through a prayer and comes through study of God's word and searching out, you know, once we have the text and the scripture, then how can I make this so it's really understandable, you know, I think Pastor Howard is certainly developing an excellent gift in the illustrations, you know, that fit. He's not a storyteller just to get up and tell stories to entertain us, but he's there seeking various accounts or stories or history that apply to what he's trying to teach, and so that takes time and it takes effort, and so we want to see, even as back here they recognized they're having to spend too much time in this particular area, don't have the time to do what the spiritual ministry that they are called to. And so, you know, as we recognize that as just to, and I think personally just to, we need to seek out what can I do within the body, and it's a part of that exercising our gifts. And sometimes things that we don't think are gifts, or even we say, this is not my gift, but I guess I can do that. We do it, and then we find out in doing that, the Lord has actually enabled me to do that. that's the way the Lord works sometimes. I've told you over the period of time that I was sure God never had for me to preach, because he don't call somebody that can't talk, that's a stutterer, that he can't get up in front of people and preach. And yet the Lord has enabled me to overcome that. And so just because you can't do something at the moment doesn't necessarily mean that you can't do it. You know, the Lord uses us, we do what we can and seek the Lord's strength, and then he's there to help us through those things. So then as we look at another passage is in 1 Peter chapter 5, and this is in the second verse there, this is where the Lord is talking with Peter, and as the Lord is going to be leaving, what's he say to Peter? He says, Peter, feed my sheep. Feed the flock of God which is among you. I think I'm mixing a couple passages of Scripture. It's the Acts 20 passage when in Acts 20 to the elders at Ephesus, where the Lord said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock that of the Holy Ghost that hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his blood." That 1 Peter 5, 2, there was a challenge as well, was to feed the flock of God which is among you. And then I referred to the passage in John where the Lord was speaking to Peter, and he just said, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to feed my sheep. When we have the ministry of the word, when he wanted time to give himself to the prayer and ministry of the word, it was so that he might feed, that people would be fed the word of God. I remember when I was in seminary, I remember attending a church that the pastor was a good speaker, but he would use scripture, but you just come away feeling like you weren't fed. You know, they're just like there wasn't the substance there. And then I remember driving across to town to a little church where there was a man there that was just going through the word and teaching it, and you come away just feeling fed. You felt like spiritually I've been fed, and it's a great blessing to have a a pastor that will that will feed you. In this Acts chapter 20 passage, Acts chapter 20 passage, you might want to go there. Acts 20, I read the 28th verse, but here he says, "For I know this," in verse 29, "that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day." He said, the flock needs to be fed, over which the Lord has put you and made you overseers to feed him, because times are coming. There's going to be false doctrine. There's going to be ones that want to come in and to tear things apart. And so the pastor there has, and that gets into the next the next thing, and it's indicated here that he would make him overseers in verse 20. And when and as we see that, we see that the pastor needs to take oversight. And that's where in 1 Peter chapter 2, and the next part of that verse, he says, "taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but examples to the flock." You know, there's the, he lets them know that there needs to be an oversight. There needs to, he needs to lead. There's a, and certainly in the pastorate, there's times when you've got to make unpopular decisions. There's times, and I know as the elders meet together, and there's issues and things that come up, and sometimes you know there's decisions you've got to make, and you know it's not going to be popular, but you know that's a decision you got to make, and those in spiritual leadership must recognize that. I think as I think back over my own ministry, I think that what I regret most is when what I needed, what needed done but didn't do because I didn't want to offend somebody. Those are the things I regret, because I recognize that people were depending on me to lead there, and not that in every decision we've made was right. I mean, knowing what I know now, as I look back, there are decisions that I would have made differently now if I knew what I knew then. But yet, you know, we depend upon, we just look to the Lord for wisdom. We seek what is right, and we have to go on the knowledge that we have, and in the midst of that, you need to pray for your pastor and the other elders. And of course, we've got two of our elders here tonight, and your wives need to pray for you when you come to this meeting. I don't know if there's any big issues you're going to be dealing with when you come to it, but I know that we need the wisdom of God. And as Pastor Howard leads the meeting, he needs the wisdom of God, and he needs to make decisions not based upon is it going to hurt somebody's feelings, but is it right? one of the things in the church, and one of the things that happen is that, especially when it involves somebody in one of our families, and you got to have them make a decision. And many times those things don't go well because sometimes our family blood is thicker than other things. But we have to do what's right anyway. We have to do what's right. And so the pastor is to be an overseer. He's to lead. But the other part of that is we have to give him liberty to lead. If a pastor can't lead if people won't be led, and that's where in the congregation there needs to be and that's where down in Hebrews 13:17 when it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, and they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." A pastor can't lead if the people won't be led. It's kind of like in your family. If a husband is not able to lead the family, if the wife refuses to be led, so the pastor has that position of leadership, and then here in this passage we saw that it was to be willingly from the heart. He has to lead from the heart. He can't do it for money. I don't know if you remember, but when Pastor Howard came, he said, we didn't think we had the money necessarily for him. He said, "That's okay, I'll come. I'll get a job and work and I'll do that." We felt like we wanted him to be full-time if we could, and the Lord supplied that. The Lord honored that. And then when it come at a point where we didn't really have we had a number of people that were offended and left, that we didn't have the money. And again, Pastor Howard said, "Well, I need to step down and get a job." And I said, "No, we need the one that has the strength. And I think it's time for me to step aside and let you." But there we see a spirit that he's not out for the money. He's not out for the money. And we saw there it's to be a leadership that's not domineering, but to lead by example. And certainly, as Paul said to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believer in all areas of life." And our time is quickly going, but one other thing that I see, and that is from 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. A pastor that rules well should be rewarded by a giving congregation. And here, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward." It gives there the illustration of the ox that is putting his strength into grinding out the grain, and one that's not allowed to take anything of the grain. He's using his strength, and you can see the old ox, he's hungry, and he's plodding along, and he's gonna slow down. Thing in the Old Testament where they were told, "Don't muzzle the ox when he's treading the corn," and then he applies that because the labor is worthy of his reward. And in that context, he says of the one that is ruling well, it says he's worthy of double honor. This passage would indicate that he should even receive a double portion. I'm sure that it was a great encouragement to Pastor Howard to have a substantial increase in his wage this year. As I served here in this ministry, I was able to give my strength to the ministry because the church sought to pay me what they were able, And then because you gave, I also was able not only physically and spiritually to give, but also to give financially myself. It's a blessing to have enough to be able to give, you know. And there's in giving there's a great blessing, and I think you folks obviously feel that because we're not a large church, and yet there is I believe sacrificial giving that's going on in our church, and I'm sure that's because the scripture says it's more blessed to give than receive, and I'm sure you're receiving the blessing as you give as you're able, and certainly I know there are some churches that seek to pay their pastor as little as they can get by with, and some of them I've even heard it stated in one church that they feel like they need to keep the pastor humble, and so they keep his wage low. I mean, it's just a not understanding what the ministry is and the pastoral ministry. Well, let us thank the Lord for the pastor that the Lord has given us, and this is just a quick. I thought it would be a quick lesson. I thought I'll get out of this early tonight, but we didn't do that. We need to come to the Lord's table, and so let's take our hymnals and turn to number 67, I believe. Number 67, and as we prepare our hearts to partake of the Lord's table. Number 67, how can it be